I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. And let's read these verses together and then let's contemplate these thoughts that the Apostle Peter has penned here. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. These verses are often referred to in scholarly circles as the Christian graces. The Christian graces. And I would like to take that thought and develop it just a little bit this morning. The Christian graces. You know, it is incumbent upon us as Christians to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He was a gracious person. John tells us that grace and truth came through Christ Jesus, John chapter 1. And we learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. And so Jesus is gracious toward us. And we need to be gracious toward one another. And this list of spiritual attributes here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9 can help us to be gracious to others. And that's what we want to be. We really want to be Christians. We really want to follow Jesus within our life. We really want to imitate Him and to be gracious people. Now, grace means treating other people in a way that they really don't deserve. Now, think about that for a minute. God is gracious to us. The psalmist talks about His grace in Psalm 103 when he says, He hasn't rewarded us according to our sins and iniquities, but in fact has put our sins far away from us as far as the east is from the west. How do we act toward other people? Are we a gracious people? Are we looking at other people in the way that we need to look at them, like God looks at them? Are we living a life of grace toward others? Not treating them as they deserve, but lifting them up and really being special toward them and really looking at them as a person that God has made in His own image that is valuable. The Christian graces can help us to do that if we'll practice them within our life. And that's what I would like to talk about this morning as we think about being gracious towards others and practicing the Christian graces. Now, we're just going to talk about the first one this morning. Add to your faith virtue. Now, faith is the first one. That's what starts out the list. Because we can't begin with the Christian graces unless we have faith within our life. We can't start acting graciously towards others unless we really believe in God, really believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and really act as if God is informing our life through His inspired Word and helping us to see things as they really are and not as Satan wants us to see things. Now that's important because if we're going to see things as they really are and not as Satan wants us to see things, we can act graciously toward others. Now let's think about that for just a moment when we think about the Christian graces and how faith helps us to have grace within our life. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what does that mean? That means we've got to start in our life of walking graciously toward others and practicing the Christian graces and having faith within our life. We've got to start with the word of God. Because the word of God is inspired of God. It's given by God to inform us as to how to live our lives in a way that is going to be like God, a way that's going to imitate God, in a way that's going to imitate Christ. And so we need to listen to God's Word, and we can't have faith without listening to God's Word. And so as we study God's Word this morning, we need to allow it to really move us to live faithfully for Him and take away all of those things that are getting in the way of our being gracious with other people. Now, that's a great challenge, and each one of us has that challenge. I have that challenge. Everybody's got the challenge, because every once in a while, you get into a situation where you just got a lot of things loaded up on you, right? And then somebody comes along and kind of tweaks you or pushes your button a little bit, and what's the temptation? It's to respond in an ungracious way, right? And we all know that feeling. We all know what it's like, you know, to snap at somebody else. We all know what it's like to react negatively to a situation, right? We all do that. Every single one of us has done that. And don't pretend we haven't, because we have. We've got to confess that. We've got to confess that we really want God to lead our lives. And we really want to be gracious toward others, because that's the way that Jesus lived His life, and that's the way that He acted toward others. So let's think about this first one, the Christian graces, and think about how faith, in particular, helps us to be gracious toward others. Well, first of all, faith helps us to be gracious toward others because faith informs us as to who people really are. Now, when we're talking about being gracious toward others, we're talking about our relationships with other people, right? Being gracious doesn't happen in a vacuum. You can't be gracious by yourself. We practice grace when other people are involved, because it's only when other people are involved that actions and attitudes are not what they're supposed to be. And so in order to be a gracious person, first of all, I've got to recognize that I am in a relationship with other people, whether I want to be or not. Now, there's a lot of folks in the world who want to kind of withdraw, you know, and they want to kind of isolate themselves. And that's a bad symptom. That means there's something spiritually wrong there. Okay? That they really don't want to be what God wants them to be. And so in withdrawing and isolating ourselves, we kind of try to build up those walls of defense, you know. But somebody's going to get through. Somebody's going to make it around the walls. Somebody's going to be there one day, and you're going to have a relationship with another person. Now, I'm not talking about the word relationship in a romantic sense. I'm not talking about the word relationship even in a deep sense. I am just talking about the fact that we've got to interact with other people. That's it. And those are relationships, okay? And that's what we need to be thinking about. And how are we going to be gracious in those circumstances? Well, first of all, faith helps us by telling us that every single person that's out there, every single person that's born into this world, is made in the image of God. Now, that's important for us to understand and realize, because when we are tempted to act ungraciously toward others, that's the first thing that needs to come to our mind. And I have these little conversations with myself from time to time, and I tell myself these things. When I get tempted not to be gracious with somebody, I sit there and I say, "Now, Kevin, that's a person made in the image of God, and you need to love them like God loves them. You need to respect them like God respects them. Even though they may have problems, even though they may have sin in their life, even though they may not be acting in the way that they're supposed to act, or maybe in the way that I think they're supposed to act, because there's a difference between those two things. But what? That helps me reorient myself, you see? So that when I have these negative thoughts toward other people and I say, "Oh, look at that person and how he's acting. Look at this person and how she's acting," you know, and I start to be judgmental, and I start to think about things in the wrong way, and I remind myself of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. I've got to remember that, because every single person is made in the image of God. And because of that, they are worth loving. Just because of that fact alone, that they're made in God's image. And so I need to love, and I need to practice grace, and I really need to show a positive attitude toward others. You see, we have this great purpose, and this is another thing that faith tells me, that faith reveals to me in God's holy word. We have a great purpose. That purpose is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And because of that great purpose, I want to fulfill that purpose within my life. And others around me need to fulfill that purpose within their life as well, to be who God created them to be. And so I really need to act graciously toward others because of who God made them, and my faith tells me who God made them to be, and because of what my purpose is, and my faith tells me what my purpose is. And then my faith also tells me who their real role model is, and that is Jesus Christ himself. They are made in the image of God. They have the purpose of loving God and their neighbor, and Jesus provides the true model for who they are. And if I love Jesus, then I'm going to love them too and act graciously toward them. But you see, it's my faith that informs me as to that information, who they are, how we're supposed to act, and who our standard is today. And when I keep those things in mind, I can be faithful to God. I can be gracious toward other people. Now, it's when I lose track of those things and forget and start to turn back to self and how self wants to live that I stop being what God wants me to be. And I start being what I want to be, you see. And so then I throw up all kinds of objections and all kinds of what ifs and wherefores and look at that and look at that. And then I'm not acting graciously anymore. And I'm not listening to the Word of God when I do that, because I'm not letting faith inform me. So I need to have faith. I need to believe what God has said. And I need to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45 says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam," and that's Jesus, "the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Oh yes, Jesus gives me life. He really does. When I listen to him, when I'm faithful to him, when I believe in him and trust in him, he gives me that life that I need to have in order for me to really reach out to others and be gracious with them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says this, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Whom he foreknew. That's us. That's Christians. God foreknew that we would become his children. And as a result of that, he predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son. What does that mean? Well, it means that that's how God wants me to live my life, like Jesus lived his life, and really trusting in him and really believing that Jesus has something important to say to me, and that Jesus really has the answers that I'm looking for in order to live for him. That's faith. And we can be gracious as Christians because of who God wants us to be in his Son, Jesus the Christ. And so faith helps us to be gracious to others because, first of all, faith informs us as to who people really are and who God really wants them to be. And that motivates me then to be gracious. But then secondly, faith helps us to be gracious to others because faith lets us know what the greatest spiritual need is. And we have got to remember that. We've got to remember what's really real here. okay? We talked about that in Bible class this morning, how we get distracted by all the things that we accomplish in life, and we begin to think that those are the things that really matter, those are the things that really count, when really those things don't count, they don't really matter. But what does matter? That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, if by any means I may be conformed unto His death. Yes, Jesus really matters. That's what's going to really last. That's what's going to persist into eternity. Not my pitiful accomplishments that are just tools to get me from point A to point B on this earth. That's all those things are. So why trust in them? But faith lets me know what the greatest need really is. And that greatest need is my sin problem. You see, I have a sin problem and I need to be saved from my sin problem. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. There the prophet Isaiah says this. He basically says, now look, don't blame God for the problems that sin has caused in your life. That's what he's saying. He said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God that He will not hear. You see, ultimately, my biggest problem is me and my sins and what that does to my relationship with God. And that's my greatest need, to have those sins dealt with so that I can get back in a right relationship with God and that then I can go forward for Him. Well, Jesus addresses that greatest need. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter writes, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit. And so Jesus brings us to God. Yes, we have a sin problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23. The wages of sin are death. Romans 6 and verse 23. But then listen to the rest of the verse. The wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus resolves the sin problem. And therefore, Jesus is everyone's greatest need. It's not physical comforts that we need. It's not overflowing cabinets and pantries of food. It's not air conditioning. Our greatest need is not wonderful, fine clothing to wear on our backs every day. That's not what our greatest need is. All of those things, to quote the scriptures, perish with using. In other words, they're just tools to get us from one point to another. Do you remember what you ate for lunch 2 months ago today? I bet you didn't. Unless you're like my kids who have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every single day. All right? I don't remember what I ate for lunch 2 months ago. But do you know who Jesus is? Oh, yes. I remember that. I remember that He is the one who came to this earth and left the glories of heaven. I remember that He is the one who grew up in a little town called Nazareth. Not much to it. I remember that He is the one who began His ministry and went out to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I remember that He is the one who drew great crowds because of the wonderful miracles that He did, and that He used those to preach the gospel to others. I remember that He is the one then who went to Jerusalem to confront the sinful spiritual leaders of that day and time and to convict them of their sins. And I remember that they took Him in the middle of the night, betrayed by one of His friends, and led Him to trial, at which He faced horrible accusations. I remember that they spat upon Him, that they beat Him with rods. I remember that they took Him before Pilate, who said, I find no fault in Him. But nevertheless, they threatened Pilate, and so Pilate acquiesced. I remember they placed a purple robe upon Him, and in mock gesture, kneeled before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and put that crown of thorns on his head. I remember that they took him out to beat him with that scourge. I remember that they put that cross on his back and compelled him to carry it to the place of the skull. I remember there that they drove the nails in his hands and in his feet, and that he hung there between heaven and earth and bled out his life blood. And I remember that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, I remember Jesus and what he did for us. That is our greatest need. Faith lets us know what our greatest need is. And then faith helps us to love others as God loves them. Because when I look at the cross, when I look at the lengths to which God went to save me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, then I am compelled by the love of God to love others as well. And can I be gracious when I love? Absolutely I can. In fact, there's no other way for me to act. When I remember the love that God had for me, I will love others. I won't return evil for evil, but I will have regard for good in the sight of all men. Romans 12 and verse 17. I will remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. And I will remember to be an imitator of God who loved me enough to send Jesus to that cross so that I could have forgiveness of sins and I might be reconciled to him. Now therein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 4. Yes, there is true love. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Ephesians 5 and verses 1 and 2. And because of the love of God, because of the love of Christ, which compels me, constrains me, oh yes, I can be gracious toward others. And you see, faith informs me. Faith teaches me. And my faith then, informed and taught, can act in the way that God wants me to live. And I can really live by faith each and every day. Trusting in Him. Believing Him. Looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of the faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, but is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Yes, add to your faith. We need to have faith if we're going to display the Christian virtues within our life. And the message that we speak should be the same message to all, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which I am chief. Now Jesus tells us what we need to do to be saved. To hear Him and to believe Him, to repent of sin, to confess Him as Lord, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. You see, those are Jesus' commands. That's what Jesus told us to do. And we need to do that because of who Jesus is and what he wants us to be. And when we do that, we can live a life of faith and we can be gracious toward others. Having God within our life, having Christ within our life, having the Holy Spirit within our life, you see, that's what moves us to be gracious. Do you need to become a child of God? You see, without becoming a child of God, you really can't be gracious to other people as you need to be gracious. Because you're still going to be pursuing self. You're still going to be pursuing the flesh. You're not going to have that confidence in God that the Christian has. And you're going to turn back to self. You've got to fully give yourself to Him. To obey Him. To live for Him. To identify with Him in the waters of baptism. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God on your shoulders. To go forth and live a life that is wonderful in the sight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why not adopt that life today? Why not live that life? Be that person that you need to be, that God created you to be in His image. Conform to the image of His dear Son. Make that choice this morning to become a child of God and live for Him faithfully each and every day. While together we stand and while we sing.